Welcome to Ask Peggy About Your Finances, because prosperity is so much more than money. Brought to you by writer, speaker, and certified financial planner, Peggy Doviak.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Hello, and welcome to the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. My name is Peggy Doviak, and I'm a certified financial planner practitioner and a personal finance author. This is a show to help you understand your money, and I've got some great topics this week. We're going to talk about interest rate movements again, because I really think that much of what's driving our markets right now is anticipated or feared Fed policy. The first fiduciary lawsuit has been issued, and we'll talk about that a little bit. Next Sunday is Mother's Day, and so in the Plan Your Prosperity segment, I'm going to talk about the importance of moms taking care of themselves in addition to everything else that they do. And then finally, in the Ask Peggy segment, we're going to look at working and taking Social Security benefits. So let's get started with the bulls and bears market and economic update. This is for the week ending May 3rd, 2024, and it was a good week in the markets. The Dow was up about 1.14%, while the S&P 500 was up a little over 0.5%. The NASDAQ was up almost 1.5%. Gold dropped almost 2%, and oil, West Texas Intermediate Crude front month price for a barrel dropped 5.28%, and it is now currently $78.36 a barrel. The 10-year Treasury dropped an even 10% from the time I gathered this data, and it's currently sitting at 4.518%. The dollar dropped about 0.4%, and Bitcoin went up 1.84%. So there's been a lot of anticipation about the Fed discussion this week. Remember that we've been on a Fed roller coaster, and we've been on a Fed roller coaster mostly the making of Wall Street pundits who are trying to, you know, really get everybody enthusiastic about something that they want to see happen. If you'll recall, late last year, and I think even the beginning of this year, they were talking about the Fed cutting rates 6 times, so that even at a quarter point a time, the Fed would have cut rates by 1.5%. And if you were listening to the show during that period of time, my opinion was there was no way in the world they were going to do that, because having rates a little bit higher gives them the opportunity to cut rates. I was talking to someone earlier this week, and they said that, what would happen if the Fed needed to cut rates and it was very, very low? And you can actually enter a negative interest rate environment. And we don't seem to think that could happen. And it would be very, very rare in the United States for our economy to get that weak. But in some other countries here over the last few years, there have been times when there have been negative interest rates. And somebody, that same person, said, well, what does that mean? Does that mean I have to pay them to hold my money? I said, that's exactly what it means. So that if things are really scary out there, you'll pay the U.S. government 0.25% to buy the bond, because you know you'll get the money back. When people talk about the dollar being weak or the dollar being replaced, understand that national currencies always have the option of charging you to buy their bonds. Now, I don't think that's going to happen anytime in the United States in the foreseeable future, and especially now that the Fed has raised rates a little bit higher, so we're not so close to that zero number like we were earlier. But when people are freaking out about the dollar, just realize it's actually on the table, and people would buy the bonds because they know they're going to get their money back. So this is a bit of a pitch that the dollar is a very strong currency. The United States economic system is very strong. Fortunately, right now, we don't have to worry about that. So then when inflation got sticky, the same voices who were telling you that, oh, the Fed's going to cut six times this year, were saying, oh, the Fed's going to raise rates in June, that the next interest rate movement is going to be up, not down. And it's like, no, it's not. And sure enough, when Jay Powell spoke last week, he basically said in fancy Fed speak, no, it's not. He said he doesn't anticipate it, which is the most polite way of saying he isn't going to raise rates in June, interest rates, unless something absolutely catastrophic were to happen that we can't see coming. And I don't think that is on the agenda. Of course, we'll have to wait. So he also said he could imagine cutting interest rates once this year. So we're really still on the same trajectory that we were of it's more likely that rates are going to go down than rates are going to go up. So there's two or three things that makes me keep harping on this. One, I think it's awfully important to look behind the scenes completely. Sometimes we'll see the market do something and we'll see a great big headline and we correlate those two items, when in fact it was something else way more boring than what we were correlating. So I want you to be very, very careful when you see the market move and you see something happen. Look deeper to make sure that what's happening is a result of what you saw and not the result of something else. Now, sometimes it is what you saw. No doubt about it. The market will react to news. But a lot of times it's reacting a little bit to something else, and you just think it's the news. So that's thing one. Thing two, if you're wanting to borrow money, now this is not financial advice. I am simply reporting what Jerome Powell, the chair of the Federal Reserve, has told us, that it's really likely that rates are going to be a little bit lower from here if you can have some patience. So if you're considering a purchase and you don't like these interest rates, after you've talked to your own personal financial planner, you might wait if you can. Thing three, if you are looking to buy fixed income products, lots of people are buying CDs right now. Now, here's the disclaimer. CDs are not appropriate for everybody's portfolio. We know that, right? But I have to say it. But if you're looking at buying something like a CD after you've talked to your own personal financial planner, you might want to act earlier, not later, because these may be the best rates that we're going to get if you want more interest. Remember, too, that when you're looking at lengths of time to buy CDs for, if you're looking at like a 10-year CD, say, and the rate's way lower, that's because the people issuing the CD are expecting the rate drops as well. Some places have a pretty steep fall off. Some places have less of a fall off. That is where you have to make your own decision and do what makes the most sense to you. One other idea to consider, let's say you want to put $4,000, $3,000, easy. I want to do my math in an easy way. $3,000 in CDs. Okay, what you can do is purchase three CDs of $1,000 each. Check the minimum. But then if you had to cash something in, you would have it to cash it in and you'd still have 2/3 of the money invested. It's a way of sheltering the need to withdraw and losing this really great interest rate that we've got going right now.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the legislative update of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And like we should have expected, we already have a lawsuit against the new Department of Labor's fiduciary standard rule, which says that any money that was held as a fiduciary level of care in your retirement plan When it rolls out into an IRA, it retains that fiduciary level of care, and anyone who's wanting you to do a rollover has to act as your fiduciary for your money. Now, among other things, that fiduciary standard includes a conversation about keeping the money in the plan versus rolling it into an IRA, talking about any strengths and weaknesses, talking about reasons why you might want to roll it over. And quite frankly, that shouldn't be a high bar for a financial professional to reach, because very often the investment choices that you have when you roll someone's money into an IRA can cover more asset classes than what's available in the qualified plan. And I say this, and some qualified plans are fantastic, but I say this to let you know, it's not a hard argument to make usually. If you are acting as a fiduciary, you just have to have a good reason for it rather than, I really want your money. And so they're just wanting that done. There needs to be a fee comparison. What are the fees associated with the rollover versus what are the fees associated with leaving it where it is? This is where it gets tricky. And this is where this lawsuit that is brought by, and I quote, the Federation of Americans for Consumer Choice, along with some add-on independent insurance agents who are joining this suit, that the insurance side of this in particular does not want to disclose the number of fees, because in a fiduciary standard, that would also include how much commission the person is making for the sale. Up until now, it's been relatively easy for an agent selling an annuity to tell the investor, oh, well, you know, you don't actually have to pay me anything for what I'm doing for you, which is not really full disclosure, because when your money rolls into an IRA or an annuity from a qualified plan, you have something called a surrender period. Some annuities don't, most annuities do, and for a period of time, there is only so much money that you can withdraw from that IRA without incurring a penalty from the annuity company. So they say, okay, for X number of years, sometimes that's 7 years, sometimes that's 8 years, sometimes that's 10 years, you can only take out this much money a year. It's a reasonable amount, depending on your account balance, of course. If you take out more than that, we're going to penalize you. And that's because the insurance company has paid the agent, which then creates a surrender period for you. And that surrender period is generally a direct relationship between how much compensation the agent got for selling you the policy versus kind of set out in a number of years for you. On top of that, there are all of the fees associated with owning an annuity, and they can be tricky to find. I've looked at lots of annuity descriptions, and especially if you're looking at them from the side of the consumer, they can be tricky to find. What this rule is saying, it's not saying that you can't have a commission. It's not saying you can't have a surrender period. It's not saying you can't have fees. It's saying you have to tell the consumer what they are in super clear language. And the Federation of Americans for Consumer Choice does not want to do that. I am not the one saying it. They are saying it, and they want the rule vacated while it's going through the court system. It's saying that it believes that consumers should get to choose. Let me try and find the direct quote here. It's an assault against insurance agents. It says that, And it also says that it removes choices that consumers can have. So that basically you should be allowed to choose that someone not act as a fiduciary standard for you, or you can choose that they should. Now, that is incredibly tricky for me to get my head wrapped around, because basically the person who agrees to that is saying, no, I don't care if the person selling me a policy is acting for their own bottom line interest over mine. I don't actually know a human being who has ever said that to me, unless the agent's like a family member or something, right? So it's the disclosure of the fees that's making their heads explode. I am not going to decide whether the fees are too high or too low. That's not my place. My place is you need to disclose. So you need to disclose the amount of commission, because that is impacting your surrender period, and you need to show the amount of fees, both for the annuity and any special features that it has. Now, I have heard people say, because I've been kind of hardcore about this for a really long time, both on and off the radio, on and off my podcast, people say, oh, well, but you don't want them taking the money out too fast anyway, because this money has to last over the course of their life. So limiting them to the amount that they have to take out during the surrender period is actually doing them a favor. And if their life goes exactly the way you have planned for the next 10 years, that really might be a true statement. But I've seen too many people, you know, most people are retiring at 65, 70, something like that. And then all at once, a catastrophic financial situation happens. And you need access to the money. Except you've got a surrender period that goes on for years. This isn't like some mutual funds that have restrictions on buying and selling that usually happens over the course of a few months. This is happening over a course of years. 10-year surrender periods are all over the place right now. And so you take a client who would have plenty of money to cover this catastrophic situation, at least now, right? Sometimes when these bills hit, you got to figure out a way to pay them, especially if it's something like nursing care because somebody's fallen and broken a hip and you've used up all the freebie stuff that you got through the Medicare, Medicaid, MediChoice, Medigap, Medicare Part C. You've used that all up, or it's not enough money, like some of the Medicare C plans. So then you've got to get into your savings, and you've saved your whole life and you've got a nice nest egg and you can't touch it. I am looking at someone right now trying to help them create a plan, and honestly, there isn't one. It's a $500,000 account, and they can't touch it because it's still got like 7 years left on a surrender period, and the man's in his late 70s to early 80s. So you have to decide what you want to do. I am not being critical of the fees or the surrender periods or the commission of an annuity. All I'm saying is that you should be allowed to see it and make your own decisions. The acting secretary for the Department of Labor, and here, let me come up here and get you her name. Her name is Julie Sue, told the House of Representatives last week that she's very convinced that labor's new rule can withstand any sort of lawsuits that's brought against it. So I'm glad that she's going on Capitol Hill. I'm glad she's talking about it. All I'm telling you is whether this rule stays or not, you need to be asking all of those questions from anyone who is selling you a financial product.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Plan Your Prosperity segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And this segment is dedicated to the moms out there, or the women who have lots of responsibilities, not only for their kids, which can be responsibility enough, but as they get older, their parents as well. And lots of women right now are feeling like the ham in a sandwich, and they feel like everybody needs something else and everybody needs it at the same time, and they're going a little nuts trying to be responsible. So this is related to your money, because if you're working, and I know that most of you probably are, I'm betting you're not doing it for the fun of it. And if you throw yourself into a bind where you have to quit your job, you are also putting your own retirement at risk, and you're extending a problem to the next generation where now your kids are also going to have to be your caregiver as you get older because you don't have enough resources. Now, sometimes there isn't enough resources at all, and we can't help it, and it's the way it is. And again, this is an absolutely non-judgmental show. However, everything you can do to keep yourself prospering financially while you're helping your kids and you're helping your folks is going to make your life much easier. So, the very first thing you need to do is call a family meeting of people who live under your roof. And like I said, maybe you're not a mom, maybe you're an aunt, maybe you're a grandparent who's raising kids and you're still dealing with your mom and dad. So call a meeting of everyone who is in a position to help. If the grandparents cannot help because of whatever, do not make them feel bad. Okay, there's ways of including them without making them feel bad about the situation. But lots of grown kids have moved back home. Lots of older teens are living at home. And those family members can help you out. I know sometimes we don't like to ask for help, but there is nothing wrong. You are all in this together. And so if you have an older teen or a boomerang child whose job is just not working or providing enough money, they can help you by taking the grandparents to a doctor's appointment. Or if the grandparents need you there at the doctor's appointment, the kids can go to the grocery store. The kids can buy the groceries for the grandparents. The kids can pick up the prescriptions for the grandparents. And they can fix dinner, and occasionally do some houseworking as well. There is nothing wrong with a multi-generational family. I mean, they work incredibly well lots of the time. However, people feel guilty and they start getting resentful if they're having to pick up and do absolutely everything for a 27-year-old. At the same time, that 27-year-old may really not want to go to the doctor's appointment because they don't want that responsibility. So share those tasks and everything is going to get a lot easier. You may have to set some boundaries. You may have to have your kids, if they're available at a different work schedule, or your spouse, take a call if it's happening while you're at work. So there may be a period of time that your phone and your text are not available. So the grandparents then need to know who they should call. And if you get a call from them, you can text the free family member and say, hey, they just called. I need you to talk to them and see what's going on. Sometimes when you get on the phone with people, it's really hard to get off. So if you never get on, even if the call comes to you, you can forward it to another family member while you're at work, while you're doing those tasks that you've simply got to get done. You cannot be everything for everybody 24 hours a day. Prioritize what matters. So do what you need to do to thrive at work. You don't want to get fired. Prioritizing means, okay, you got to have dinner, right? But you can throw something in a crock pot and you can serve it on paper plates. You don't have to have everything matching. I know paper plates cost a little bit, but you can get some that are low cost. And if you just are having a crisis doing the dishes, make your life easy. If you don't want to buy paper plates for whatever reason, then get those other family members to help do the dishes, especially if you've made the meal. On top of that, to keep from having to do something all of the time, stack events into one trip so that you pick up the prescriptions and the groceries and you go by wherever other place you're needing to for your folks in one trip. And maybe you can make that trip then once a week. Try not to get nickeled and dimed. If your folks are able to help, and they should be if they're living by themselves, then get grocery lists. If they've got someone living in the home with them or helping them at the home, then make sure what that person needs. But you need to let everybody know, okay, I'll go to the store 3 days a week, but I'm not going to the store 7 days a week. Because I've seen that happen. Every single day, there's something else. Every single day, there's another task. So you learn what their prescriptions are. You learn how much of each one that they have. And then you set up a recurring refill schedule, ideally working with a pharmacist who, once your folks have signed the appropriate papers, can help you stay up to date without getting lost. There's lots of ways you can do this. Here's the problem. Nobody likes to ask for help. Okay, we talk about, you know, we kind of make jokes about men. It's like, oh, they don't want to ask for directions. They've got to be strong. They've got to do this. They've got to do that. And I think all those stereotypes can tend to be true. But I would make the argument that women are even worse at it sometimes. So if you're a mom and you've got older parents, elderly parents, and you've got kids, you know, give yourself the best Mother's Day present you can give. Call a family meeting. Don't be mean about it. Don't be cruel about it or hateful. Don't accuse people of not helping you. Okay, that is not going to help the situation. But instead, just say, hey, I'm overwhelmed. I've got too much on my plate. Let's create a plan and walk into it knowing what you need. And that way, everybody can work together and help you get where you need to be so that you will be fine for everyone. Because if you burn out, a whole lot of this house of cards will collapse.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Ask Peggy segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And this is going to have to be a short segment. Fortunately, I had an easy question. I also wanted you to know that my first cozy mystery, You Can't Cheat Death, is being released on September 16th, 2024. And my second personal finance book, 52 Weeks to Well-Being, What a Woman Needs to Know to Become Queen of Her Finances, won the nonfiction award at Oklahoma Writers Federation, Inc. at the conference that I attended this last weekend. So huge news. But the question is, how much can you earn if you want to take Social Security early? And you can earn $22,320 if you're younger than full retirement age. If you earn more than that, $1 of every $2 of your benefit goes back into the pot of money that you'll draw from for the rest of your life. If you're full retirement age this year, the amount you can earn is $59,520. If you exceed it, the penalty is $1 for every $3. So the money's not gone, you just don't get it then.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
You may submit personal finance questions to the Ask Peggy Facebook page and learn more at PeggyDoviak.com. And remember, prosperity is so much more than money.